As always, we have many options for this Sunday. Most years, I went back and looked, and most years it seems I end up in Exodus, but not this year. So if you're thinking, well, what's going on in Exodus, just remember that just because we don't make our idols out of gold and make them look like calves doesn't mean that we don't have them. And I've never really known what to do with the parable of the wedding feast. It's got some of Jesus' most hyperbolic language, and I just don't get that one as much as I would like. So, Philippians it is. It's Theological Education Sunday, among other things, this Sunday. So, thinking about minds, I think that's a good idea. The translation that got me this to the sermon title, the NRSVs, asks Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And so the question is, well, whose mind? And how? How do we do this? How do we be of the same mind of anyone, for that matter, if we're either one of these people, Euodia or Syntyche? How did they know? Well, Paul, being Paul, didn't leave everybody just hanging, because that wouldn't be very helpful. But he goes on to talk about what it might be that's going to allow you to be of the same mind. He doesn't say one of these people is right and the other one is wrong. We don't know what they're arguing about, but it's obviously significant for Paul to mention them by name in this letter. And so what we have is a bunch of things following that are thematically connected to what's going on with these women in this argument. And after Paul has sort of set the tone, talking about loyal yoke fellows, if you read the old translations, fellow workers, a little bit easier to understand, he asks them to help these women so that they can come to an agreement. And then he goes on to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will even say it again," it's Paul talking, "rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all." Now, this is a good verse no matter what. You frequently see it on samplers of one kind or another. You sometimes see it on little plaques in various places because it's a good thing to think about. But let's not forget where it comes. It comes right after a conversation about a significant disagreement. So how do we become of the same mind? Well, we begin by rejoicing. Because what does rejoicing do? Rejoicing takes us from where we are, and if we're disagreeing with people, probably means we're a little crabby, we're sort of those sorts of things. Rejoicing takes us out of ourselves. It's very difficult to dislike someone at the same time as you are rejoicing in the Lord. Now, you can sort of flip back and forth between them very quickly, I'm sure. But what we're looking at here is this is one of the ways that we continue to move forward to have a better kind of mind. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I wonder, with sort of what we hope is a baptized imagination, I wonder if this disagreement between these two women is somehow seated in some kind of anxiety. There are all kinds of reasons for legitimate disagreements in the church. Because, as I said, Paul doesn't say one is right and one is wrong. There's all kinds of things. There are people who disagree over what time a worship service should be. The Bible is completely silent on that. People of a good mind can disagree with each other, and that's okay. So maybe this came out of anxiety. Maybe Paul knew that they were worried about the same thing, but didn't know how to address it. Well, what do you do then? Well, you try not to be anxious. The difficulty with trying not to be anxious is that it doesn't work. Standing in a corner and not being anxious will just make you more anxious. It's like standing in a corner and not thinking about a polar bear. You know, it just doesn't work. We can't do it. So what do? We replace anxiousness by handing that concern we have over to God. And saying, God, who knows all things and can do all things, you take care of this, because we can't. It's causing us problems. And when we do that, Paul tells us that this can happen, that you will have the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. will potentially reduce your anxiety. If we give our things, if we give our concerns and our fears and our anxiousness to God, as long as we don't grab them back or we hold on to them a little bit while we're handing them over, as long as we give them to God, we can frequently have that sense of peace knowing that God has taken care of it. Doesn't mean that we don't have anything to do necessarily, but we can hand the ultimate responsibility off to God. And then Paul follows up with this list of other things that, if you read it sort of in reverse, Paul says, think about these things. Because once again, remember, we're talking about having the same mind. Our mind is what we think with. It's a little bit different than the brain, I think, but who knows. But we think with our minds. And so Paul says, I want all of you to think about these things. I want you to think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy. It comes back to that same idea as it's how hard it is to dislike somebody in the midst of rejoicing. If we train our minds to think about these kinds of things rather than what a rat that other person is, or look how terrible our government is, or look how terrible the opposition is, depending on where we place ourselves, all of those things. If we spend all of our time thinking about that, Paul suggests, and I think we can agree, that you won't really know peace of mind. And it's hard to be of the same mind with somebody else when your mind is consumed with the things that you don't like, with your anger, with your fear. Because how do you have the same mind when it comes to your fears, somebody else's fears? We all have fears, and there's nothing wrong with those. What we do with them can lead us to a certain kind of peace of mind or not, but we don't line up very often with fears the same way we can line up with whatever is true. True is a description of things, and there are some things that we know are true. And because they're true, we can agree on those things. We can have the same mind about that. We're probably not going to disagree a lot about what's noble, what's right, what's pure and lovely and admirable, excellent or praiseworthy. When we're thinking in these ways all together, we're going to have more of a sameness about us, not in the way that we're identical and have no minds, because that's not what Paul's talking about. But we'll have a similar orientation towards what's going on. And if these two women would have been able to think on these things, I wonder if it would have reduced the difficulty they were having. And if we think on these things, I wonder if it will reduce our anxieties and our fears. It doesn't make them go away. If you're anxious about something that is real, then you'll always have some concern about that. And once again, that's normal, that's okay. But being anxious, it means that you're afraid of the outcome. You're afraid of what might happen. You don't see the possibility of anything good coming from it. But if you're looking at a situation and you're doing your best to look at it from this perspective, all of these things, it makes it a lot easier. It was really hard to look at things that way when Haley went under the knife for the fourth time since May. It was very easy for me to slip into the kind of thinking that says, if there's a mistake that could be made, somebody will make it. But through the help of others, and through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, I was able to think less of that than to think of, there are all kinds of people who have spent their lives getting good at repairing other people. That's all they've done. That's all they've zeroed in on. I think this could work out. I think this could be the end of this up and down, very bouncy road for Haley and for us. Which made it so much easier to wait. Which made it so much easier to, believe it or not, to rejoice when we got the good news that Haley came out of the anesthetic with the same number of kidneys as she went in. Which was what we were looking for. Because it wasn't just heaving a sigh of relief and falling in a puddle. It was looking at it saying, this is the outcome we wanted, and it's the outcome we got. We weren't anxious. We were concerned. We were aware of the possibilities, all of those things. But we got past that, not by gritting our teeth and saying, I'm not anxious, I'm not anxious, I'm not anxious, like saying it three times in a row and clicking our heels will take us back to Kansas. We did it by saying, these are the things that we know that can be good. And behind all of them is a God who loves Haley more than I do. And always has and always will. And when I can think of those things, says, what is more excellent or praiseworthy than being reminded that God loves my kids more than I do? It allowed me to look into a situation that I didn't like, that I didn't want, that I didn't choose, and nobody did, with the perspective of, this is not creating anxiety. I am aware of what's happening and what could happen. But the mind I'm pursuing is the mind of God. I'm trying to be like Jesus, who was able to put all of those things behind him, even in the midst of the worst that humans could do. I don't know if you need to be of the same mind of anybody in particular today, and you probably don't. But if you do, if you find yourself ruminating on some of these things that drive you mental, try this. Try following along in Philippians 4, especially verses 8 and on. And think on those things. Think on the things that God has put in your life that make life worth living. Think on all the good things that have happened, not in a Pollyanna kind of way, but as a reminder that God loves you more than anyone. And that's the mind we want to put on ourselves. The mind that says, a loving God is loving because we are, not because of what we've done. And that will give us the ability to move forward regardless of what we're facing. Amen.